you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Many of you have been at prayer rallies or prayer gatherings or heard messages about this phenomenal, important, sacred verse, one that we can all apply and think through and talk about, and it'll launch us into more conversations about fasting and prayer. What do you think, Marianne?
We've okay.
been going through this for some
I'm,
weeks
I'm convicted. I don't need to read more. I'm convicted.
Yeah, that's
I'm convicted.
Right. It's like, you know, those patterns of three. I've talked about it. You know, you hear it on the radio, your pastor preaches on it, and then you see it in a book and you're like, okay, God, you got my attention.
Yeah, right.
I call it the spiritual pattern of three. I've just seen it so many times in my life, and it's like we're on the pattern of nine now. There's like three different times we've gotten three different reminders of the importance of prayer and fasting. But I just think this is a phenomenal chapter. Just this mm-hmm. chapter is worth the price
yeah,
of the book.
Yeah, it's true.
But we'll be reading three different sections. But let me get back to my opening few
okay.
words.
Hi, everybody.
Reading
okay.
from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Mm.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 7th, 2022. That was 2 Chronicles 7:14. As mentioned, I think most all of you have probably heard it one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's a new verse to you, maybe it's the first time you've tuned into this radio ministry and you're flipping through, waiting for that rock and roll song or the oldies or jazz
Welcome.
Or whatever. Welcome to Great News Media. We're a ministry dedicated to educate, edify, and evangelize. And evangelize is just sharing that good news message of Jesus. So I hope what you'll hear today will be practical, but it'll draw you closer to God. Maybe the God that you've never entertained the idea that exists, that loved you, that created you. He created this Bible for us to read and to know and to understand and to learn of him. And we hope as we talk today specifically about prayer and fasting, it might stir you to seek after him in maybe a new way.
Absolutely.
And we're reading from the book Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We're in chapter 6, and it seems like the last few weeks we've been talking about prayer and fasting. And today we're going to try to cover fasting for revival, fasting for healing, and a message to preach to the world, and maybe fasting for huge evangelistic results. And so I hope you can stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes. It's a new week. As you know, tomorrow is Election Day, so please vote. I voted absentee. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get out tomorrow mm-hmm. to vote, so I voted last week. And it's a very simple thing you can do. It's your patriotic duty, if you will. It's your way to voice your opinion, your thoughts, who mm-hmm. you want to support. And I just hope that all of you have taken that to heart and researched or looked up some of these candidates and are making some wise decisions.
I'll just add my little piece to that, if that's okay.
Sure.
I know
you've already said Merry Christmas to people, so you know.
It's true. I say what I want, don't
yeah.
I? And so I think it's so important, the national elections. I mean, my goodness, so important. But I just really encourage everybody, focus, also really focus on your local community elections, because those are so important, more important than we often realize, for all of our communities, no matter how small a town or a city or, you know, just county clerk, school board. This really matters for people's lives.
Yeah, please get out and vote. Well, tomorrow, Testimony Tuesday, Lord willing,
okay.
I'm going to have Pastor Jordan Simmons, and some of you might have heard his voice last Friday. It was really interesting. We covered the topic or the subject, the importance to sing, worship, and dance before the Lord. And actually, I had Pastor Jordan's parents facilitating the discussion, Apostle Apostle Pastor Larry Simmons and First Lady Kim Simmons. And so that was fun and exciting and hopefully a worshipful time for many of you. And I did have those 40 or so different scripture verses available if any of you wanted to see some of the things that highlight in the Bible the importance to sing, worship, and dance before the Lord. Lord willing, tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday, I'm going to have Jordan share, and he helps facilitate worship with his dad and his mom and the team there at New Generations Christian Fellowship. And he and his dad were part of the Ministry Leaders Network last Thursday, where we had testimony time. I handpicked out a few of the pastors and ministry leaders to share, and then others followed suit in our remaining few minutes.
Did they know ahead of time?
Yes, I let them know that it was testimony.
Actually, I always people give a heads up.
Yeah, but I also shared that verse, always be prepared to give the hope that you have. You know, that's kind of an exhortation for all of us.
Yeah.
So I led off with that, but they knew. It was actually Pastor Jason's idea. I said, Mark, you've had like 15 straight speakers. How about giving some of the maybe quieter folks time to share a little of their testimony and speak out and share? And that'll allow more not only camaraderie, but people to, you know what's going on in Rantoul or Champaign or Urbana parts.
So that's good.
That was a delightful gathering. And then we had the prayer gathering also last Thursday night that was over in the strip mall across from here because we had the Thrivent workshop going on. So we moved across the parking lot, if you will, and Marketplace Mall was very accommodating. Just let me have that, set up chairs for me. And so we had a good number of people show up for that.
They've been pretty good to us.
Yes, yes. We appreciate Marketplace Mall. In fact, for the Ministry Leaders Network, the mall general manager, he said, oh, I can't make it this time. He couldn't make it, but he said, I look forward to the next time.
So,
It seems like God continues to do unique ministry work through this location here and then through the gathering of all these pastors and ministry leaders from different towns representing so many different churches.
So if any of you folks from Champaign, Urbana, or Savoy, or all the surrounding area come to North Prospect or Neal Street or Marketplace Mall or all the other stores doing your holiday shopping, stop in, you know where. Stop in and see us.
Great News Media is our big sign out front right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. And so we'd love to have you. It always helps to call first because Marianne and I and our team are out and about and there's many various tasks that we're running after or doing or, you know, different studios. And
we could just be out in the back hall even and just not realize you're knocking on the door. So
give us a call, 217-367-7777. Karen can always track me down if I'm running errands or
just try the door if you're nearby.
Yeah. And if you see the open sign, that means we're here. We might be in the back or, you know, just out and about, or we do have a back area here where we can't see always.
Exactly.
All right. So it's Monday, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. I think, like I mentioned, we're going to read three sections, and I hope and pray that as you hear Marianne reading, Marianne is our editor-in-chief of our beloved Prime Life Times publication, co-hosts on many Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday programs. You'll hear her voice announcing public service announcements and holiday spots and different things. So we appreciate how God has gifted her in a myriad of ways. How about that?
A myriad of ways. I'll have to remember that.
All right, Marianne, take over.
Okay. Fasting for Revival, and we're on page 101, if you're following. I've read with eagerness accounts of the big moves of God in history. Almost all were clearly born out of fervent prayer and fasting. Let me give you some examples. The revival movement that was born in New England in the early 18th century has been called the Great Awakening. In many ways, we need another one of those, Mark.
Yeah.
In many ways, it began with a pastor named Jonathan Edwards and fasting. Burdened about the unconverted members of his church, Edwards fasted for 22 hours before giving his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Gosh, I've always heard that sermon from him and his title, but I didn't know that there was these 22 hours of fasting before he delivered it.
Yeah, isn't that something? Several years later in England, George Whitefield, 1714 to 1770, and the Wesley brothers, John and Charles, 1714 to 1770, were influenced by a praying group of Christian Moravians. Soon, the three experienced what Whitefield later called a Pentecostal season. Days and nights were spent praying and fasting. When these young men began to preach, they had such power that crowds swelled to hear their words. They soon took to preaching outside, where crowds numbered into the thousands. In this book, we've mentioned the revivals experienced under Charles Finney during the early 1800s. He and his co-laborers were intense prayer warriors who spent entire days fasting and praying. I'm not going to be able to get away from this concept.
Well, and what's interesting, on Friday's program when we had Pastor Simmons sharing.
What, do they fast every day?
No, but he had prayed very intentionally, a three-day fast dancing before the Lord and just worshiping God and seeking after him. And so many of us have stories of the power that's unleashed when you fast.
Yeah, and a few of us have catching up to do. As a result, as many as a million people or more, a million at that time, were swept into the kingdom of God. Some estimate 85% of professed converts in the Finney revivals remained true to the Lord.
Wow.
That's a huge percentage. Not long after, during what is now called, quote, the layman's prayer revival, in America, Christians fasted and prayed during their lunch hours as they attended noon interdenominational prayer meetings in churches near their places of employment. The meetings were informal, as anyone could pray, lead a song, or testify, with a five-minute limit placed on each. You would love that, Mark.
Yeah. Well, do you see my timer over there? That was from the other day when I had the testimonies with the guys. They got the five-minute and then the one-minute timer that could go just twice. So they had the one-minute warning and then the one-minute final they had to be done.
Well, look at this. You have a historical precedent.
Yeah.
They started in 1857 in New York City, and soon these lunchtime prayer meetings spread to all the major cities of the Eastern Seaboard. By May 1859, 50,000 people had been converted to Christ through the prayer revival. Newspapers in New England reported that there were no unconverted adults in many towns.
Wow, this is so interesting, because our prayer gathering last Thursday night, we've been talking about maybe a year from now having a citywide, community-wide, area-wide prayer rally, prayer gathering. And it was neat, last Tuesday during Testimony Tuesday, I had Dr. Sheila Boozer on, and she came from the Springfield area after serving as principal and overseeing in the schools and such, and now she's superintendent overseeing over 10,300 students here. But I started thinking, you know, how God might be knitting, you know, with our ministry being in Springfield and over to Lincoln and down towards Carlinville and Beardstown, Whitehall, up to Macomb. Maybe God is drawing these different people into my life, into this ministry life. Here's somebody from Springfield that knew a lot of people. We have some friends in Bloomington, some friends from Peoria area. Maybe he's mobilizing key people in all these areas so that we can come together and really fill the Assembly Hall or the State Farm Center or Memorial Stadium or Fullinger Auditorium. And I just keep thinking these different people from these different communities that God's bringing in. And I just pray that our ministry and many ministries can work together to put something on that'll be God-honoring.
Oh, wow. Okay, this next section is called Fasting for Healing and a Message to Preach to the World. Ronnie Floyd is a highly effective spiritual leader. In his 20-plus years of ministry in Springdale, Arkansas, Pastor Floyd's church's membership has grown from 3,700 to more than 16,000 members. The church baptized more than 11,700 persons in his first 20 years. In 1990, his wife, Gianna, was diagnosed with cancer. He began to fast and pray for her healing, usually one day a week, but sometimes 2 or 3 days at a time. As a result, she was completely healed. In 1995, he felt led to pursue a 40-day fast for America and the church. His burden was to humble himself. That's just like our scripture.
Yeah.
To humble himself and seek God's face. Later he said, God told me that during the 40-day fast, he would give me a message to preach to the world. The answer came the next year, when he was asked to address all the thousands of church leaders at the Southern Baptist Convention's annual gathering. Floyd preached with power and called on every church to fast and pray for revival. More than 5,000 people came forward in response to the invitation. Others knelt and wept all over the arena. As a result, a letter was sent to the 50,000 pastors of the Southern Baptist Convention, calling them to fast and pray. Along with the letter was a taped copy of Floyd's sermon and a booklet he had written titled Gateway to Supernatural Power. Copies were made and sent to missionaries around the globe. God had indeed given Floyd a message that was preached to the world.
I wonder if that message can be, you know, found and utilized over the air or shared. Because I don't know if God's given us a theme for a year from now, but I would think it would include some prayer and fasting for the event, or highlighted at the event, or mentioned, or, you know, it seems like God has us talking about prayer and fasting so much these last three or so weeks that should be bringing some healthy conviction to all of us to think through how we may sacrifice to grow closer to God.
You're right. I'm going to look up that booklet and see if I can find it.
Yeah, see if there's anything on, like, YouTube or, you know, if there's probably some audio. And if they sent it out, it looks like it would have been a cassette tape. I forget what the wording was, but I think it was a taped copy. I'm thinking that's probably a cassette copy if it was from 1995, but maybe it can be on CD. Who knows?
All right. This is the last section we'll read today, I guess.
Yeah.
Fasting for Huge Evangelistic Results. Bill Bright, 1921 to 2003, was certainly one of the most effective spiritual leaders in history. His ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ, started in 1951 at the University of California, Los Angeles, has grown incredibly. Originally a ministry for college students, Campus Crusade has expanded its focus to 60 different outreaches, including ministry to adult professionals, families, athletes, and high school students in 191 different countries. Today, Campus Crusade employs more than 27,000 full-time staff and has 225,000 trained volunteers. Do they go by crew now?
Yes.
Okay, well, do you remember when Boniface was here, he said his wife Sarah came with crew, and that's how he met her. That's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Bright has been called the greatest evangelist of the 20th century. His booklet, The Four Spiritual Laws, and Campus Crusade for Christ have reached astounding numbers of people around the world who have received Jesus Christ. Mm. Bright was a man who deeply valued the power of prayer and fasting. He wrote his 1995 book, The Coming Revival, America's Call to Fasting and Prayer, with the purpose of recruiting 2 million people to join him in fasting and praying for 40 days. He received in response to the book an incredible number of testimonies of what the Lord was doing as a result of fasting and prayer. In 1997, he wrote, I have been repeatedly moved and uplifted by these messages of answered prayers for spiritual growth, salvation for unsaved friends and family, physical healing, financial needs, release from sin, specific guidance, and a greater devotion to serve the Lord. Marriages have been restored, campuses awakened, and churches revived. God's power is indeed being poured out upon his people as a result of extended fast to, quote, seek God's face. Bright's lifelong passion was evangelism and discipleship in fulfillment of the Great Commission. In the wisdom of his latter years, he ardently believed that the Great Commission would only be fulfilled when Christians experienced the transforming power of fasting. On his webpage, devoted entirely to the power of prayer and fasting, he said, "Fasting is the most powerful spiritual discipline of all the Christian disciplines." Okay. Through fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit can transform your life. Fasting and prayer can also work on a much grander scale. According to Scripture, personal experience, and observation, I am convinced that when God's people fast with a proper biblical motive, seeking God's face, not his hand, with a broken, repentant, and contrite spirit, God will hear from heaven and heal our lives, our churches, our communities, our nation, and world. Fasting and prayer can bring about revival, a change in the direction of our nation, the nations of the earth, and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Bright practiced what he preached by doing a 40-day fast annually from 1994 to 1998. When asked to describe the most significant results he personally experienced through prayer and fasting, he recalled many. The Jesus film was a vision I carried for 33 years before it became a reality in 1979. As of this date, 1998, when he said this, more than 1,300,000,000 people have viewed the Jesus film in more than 440 languages. Tens of millions have received our Lord Jesus Christ. There has been many significant answers, but standing out in my mind are the great moves of God through the I Found It campaign and the gigantic expo gatherings of 1972, 74, and 85. Through these events, the Lord mercifully touched tens of thousands of lives. If Bright's claim of the power of fasting and prayer seems outlandish, consider this. The 1972 Expo had 80,000 in attendance. The 1974 event trained 300,000 in South Korea. And the I Found It campaign touched 85% of the people in America and led to 3.5 million people becoming Christians. By 2002, the Jesus film had been translated into 800 languages and had been viewed more than 6 billion times, resulting in untold numbers of decisions for Christ.
Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Marianne, I'm thinking this chapter six is worth
the whole
cost of the whole book.
It is.
What a powerful reminder over and over again these past 3 weeks as we talk about prayer and fasting. Please contemplate, think about it, ask the Lord to lead you, maybe take baby steps towards it. If you're on medication or elderly or have special physical needs, please consult your doctor or others that know what you can and cannot do. But we would ask that you consider making it a part of your practice, your spiritual discipline, something that you do periodically. It doesn't have to be 40 days, as mentioned here, but start maybe with just a meal or a habit or something that you regularly do and give it up to the Lord. Spend that time praising Him or praying to Him or reading the Scriptures, and I believe blessings will follow. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.